Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook at www.audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia, that's Mr. Media, and you'll find more than 60,000 titles to choose from for your iPod, iPad, or MP3 player, including my own biography, Will Eisner, A Spirited Life. By the way, in case you hadn't heard this before, Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world and home of the king of adult passion, strip club titan. Man, I just can't get these words right. Strip club titan, Joe Redner, and the big one. Well, it's almost Valentine's Day, which reminds me, I got to call the florist after the show. And have I got the perfect interview for you? Rob Elder is the founder of a pair of websites that capture both the joy and angst of modern romance. First, the joy. It was lovewhen.com is dedicated to cataloging the exact moment when you realize that you are in love with someone. Aw, can't you just hear the birds chirping and the bees? I don't know what bees do. Buzzing? Yeah, I guess they must buzz. But then, inevitably, there's the angst. Elder's second site, itwasoverwhen.com, is dedicated to cataloging the exact moment when you realize a relationship isn't going to work. This could be years into a romance, on the first date, or even before the first date. These stories can be funny, poignant, abysmally sad, and universal. And bastard that I am, I'm much more entertained by the latter, of course. Rob Elder, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you here. Appreciate you making time for us. Rob, I think what I love about these sites is that the concept could outlive us all. It's so universal.
Sadly, the concept could outlive us all, yes. and the thing that I sort of found amazing is just the momentum that we've had. I mean, we've been up basically since last summer, and we've been in 141 countries, all 51 states, and we've had over 1 million hits. And this was supposed to be a little side project that I had after I was laid off, so it's sort of taken over my life.
Jeez. How did you get started on this? This was just a quirk? I mean, you just thought, hey, this would be funny. This is a funny domain. Let me get this.
Yeah, well, kind of. I mean, it started out as a party game that I used to play sort of, for a decade, because I actually am not great at parties, you know, where you mingle around and you meet new people. I'm not great at that at all. So whenever somebody would introduce, you know, themselves to me or I'd be introduced to somebody, they'd say, well, what are you working on? And I'm, a journalist by training, and usually I'm working on some capital punishment piece, and nobody wants to hear that at a cocktail party.
I don't know why not.
So I would say, hey, I'm thinking about working on this book or this website about, you know, the exact moment you realize your relationship's over, because I'm obsessed with epiphany moments. And then, you know, the person would say, oh, well, that sounds interesting. I don't have any stories. And then something would click, and they would talk for an hour. So.
So when you start a site like this, it's you. A lot of people don't understand how blogs and websites start, but it's basically a guy in a room with a computer. In most cases, how did you go about getting people to contribute and post these things?
I just started with friends. I said, hey, I'm officially a hobo now. I'm unemployed, so here's what I'm doing with my time. And I said, do you want to contribute? So I got hundred stories from friends from all across the U.S. And then I put it up and I said, okay, tell your friends. And then it just sort of snowballed. Very quickly, before we were even 3 months old, You know, Kevin Smith, the movie director, tweeted about us, crashed our site before we were even out of beta testing. And again, the momentum has been pretty amazing. It's so out of control now that we're even looking for a book publisher. So hopefully we'll be not just on the web, but, you know, across media.
Wow, how great. Yeah, I could see somebody getting on a plane reading all these stories.
Yeah.
Did the two sites start at the same time, or did one come before the other?
No, they started at the same time. It's just that it was over when took off quicker and stronger, and it still does. It still does. It still gets more traffic. But, you know, I think that's just the law of human nature. I think you should probably strike out more times than you hit a home run. So. And let me ask you, did you have any favorite stories? I know you've been looking at the site.
I love all this stuff. I'm far more, as I mentioned in the introduction, I'm far more partial to the It Was Over When site. I just find that stuff hysterical. I mean, I clicked on the sex category in the last minute or two, and I'll just give people an example of what we're talking about. And you can see this for yourself at itwasoverwhen.com, all solid, itwasoverwhen.com. And then click on the left, there's categories. I clicked on sex. I just find sex more interesting to read about, I guess. The headline on this one is right before, and this is, she told me she had herpes right before we were going to make love. No STDs for me, thank you. And then now each of these has and they're very short. They're kind of like they're almost like tweets. I don't know if there's a character limit or not, but they basically come across like a tweet.
Yeah, they're under 100 words, so it's not 140 characters. It's under 100 words, and I found that was just a bit of testing, because I found that if I let it go for much longer, I started to get, like, you know, Harlequin romance novels sent to me. So
yeah.
You know, just it's about a single moment, and it's not, you know, they're not breakup stories. Some people stay with people long after they realize they're incompatible. You know, but some of them are you know, just warning signs. One of my favorite ones is from our weird category. We have, you know, five or six categories, and this one was, he pretended to be the father of a terminally ill child to get a free vacation to Disney World out of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. That guy's not dating material. You need to get away.
Oh, my God. I'm reading one now. You know, it's... I don't even know. We're online and we're not over the air, so we don't have the same. I guess I can read this. This is anatomy lesson. We were lying in bed after sex, and she asked if I knew when a female is ovulating. Obviously, no. I'm a guy. She wiped her vagina barehanded, then rubbed her hand across my chest. She was explaining the thickness of the mucus when I dressed and walked out of the room.
Yeah. Not all of them are. Yeah, not all of them are quote unquote family friendly. You know, here's one that is family friendly, but along the same lines, which is, and this is one of my favorite ones. It was one of the first ones on the site, and it says, as from a woman, and it says, I asked him what his favorite sexual fantasy was, and he said, quote, two redheads. I'm a brunette. And the aftermath is he left me 2 months later for a blonde, which really is just it's just bad planning on his part. I mean, really,
that's bad. Now each one of these has a line. Basically, people haven't looked at it yet. There's the short up to 100 words, and then there's a first name of the person who posted it, and then there's an aftermath. There's always that one liner after. How important is having that aftermath to the story?
I think it's of paramount importance, because you find out how long people stuck around. I mean, that's sort of like the lesson. It's the it's also the I guess the punchline. If these were sort of crafted like jokes, which a lot of them kind of are. You know, I don't edit much when I post these. So I'm amazed by people's sort of natural comic timing. Not to say that every one of them is funny. Some of them are pretty heartbreaking. But, you know, I think the aftermath is the lesson. And I think that's why people respond to it. You know, we also have comments on the website, so you can weigh in on somebody's story. And my favorite comment to date is from a woman, or the woman posted this story. She said, it was over when... he compared my breast to a video game character. And the the commenter wrote, which video game? It's important.
That's great.
Yeah. But you know, again, it all goes to human nature and chemistry and, you know, what we like and what we can put up with. So for me, you know, it's like an anthropological study, you know?
Now, do you have a favorite between the two sites? We haven't really talked about it was LoveWin, but do you have a favorite between the two?
I love the Schadenfreude of It Was Over When. You know, it's mm-hmm. they tend to be funny and there's more room for commiseration. So I prefer Over When. And you know, that's one of the joys of doing this website is I'm constantly surprised and shocked and entertained and saddened and sort of all of it at once. And, you know, the other half of it is I'm still officially a hobo, still unemployed, so this is my job, and it's nice. It's a little bit of levity.
So you're not an internet millionaire because of this?
No. I think I would love to be an internet, what's less than a millionaire?
A hundredaire? That's what I am.
Yeah. I would love to be a millionaire hundredaire. Maybe, you know. Maybe a $15 an air. No, but I mean we're taking off. I mean, like I said, the momentum is good. We're way less than a year old. We had Sony Studios call us and say, "Hey, we're doing a promotion with the new Jennifer Aniston movie. Do you want to be a part of it?" And I never expected to get that level of exposure. So you know, I'm just sort of surprised by this because really it was supposed to be a one-off fun thing that has, you know, exploded wonderfully in my face.
Wow. Now, are you earning anything from it?
I mean, no, not much. We have a little bit of display advertising, but, you know, to be honest, and this is probably way too much information, I'm too busy looking for a job, you know, than trying to figure out how to monetize that. And maybe this is the wrong way to go about it. No, it has not been my first priority.
I think I understand completely. Mr. Media is a long-term project to me. I started doing it as a radio show. This is the fourth year, and when I started, the idea was, well, print media seems to be drying up, and I ought to be thinking about something else to do. Mm-hmm. And I hit on this, and you know, it's been a slow build. It's gone from nickels and dimes the first year to quarters and half dollars to, you know, ones and fives. You know, if I was a strip club guy, I'd say it was stripper money. But actually, strippers make a lot more than I do on Mr.
Media. Yeah,
but
yeah,
you know, it's the kind of thing where if we're looking down the line, and you know, everything is going to multimedia and content. The more you build up a trove of content, the better position you are. I love your sites. I think they're, you know, especially It Was Over When. I just think it's hysterical.
No, yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Well, like I said, it's me basically learning as I go. You know, it was never meant to be anything serious. It was never meant to really be a going concern. The real reason that I started it is I had finished a book on the death penalty that I had spent 7 years on, and I just said, you know, enough of violent dead guys. You know, that's kind of, it's hard to live with. And so let me, you know, turn this book in, and then I started these websites the very next day, quite literally. And it was nice. It was sort of a little pressure release.
And how much time do you spend on this day to day?
I used to. I mean, when we were first launching and the website was, you know, crashing because we would get too much content or, you know, too much attention, you know, it was turning into a 24-hour-a-day job. Now we have a content management system. You know, our tracking software is better. So I can work on it, you know, like 10 hours a week and sort of keep up. But the problem is we have just this avalanche of contributions all the time. So I feel like this moral obligation that I have to keep on top of it and keep those current and fresh. But, you know, we have enough content now to program the site for, you know, months ahead of time. But I try to, again, keep it as current as possible.
Do you know anything about the people who come to your site? You know, how often do they drop by, and what would make them come back after they get off their chest there? You know, whether it was when it was love or when it was over, why would or why do they come back?
Part of it is, I mean, the same reason that I'm doing it. You know, they are just fed by the stories. I mean, I can tell you exactly who our readers are because we have analytics. But, you know, they are, for it was over when, it's straight down the middle, male and female. They're anywhere from ages about 17 to 35. You know, we have hundreds of thousands a month come, and, you know, we're lucky to have them. And I also find that we have sort of like repeat offenders, which are, you know, basically our community. So we've built a community around this of people who comment, and they're there all the time. I actually had a friend of mine who I was visiting. She's like, I have a confession to make. I read you every day.
Wow.
Pretty flattering. Yeah.
Jeez. Now we talked quite a bit about it was Love When. It was Over When. Tell me about It Was Love When. Does it get as much attention as the other?
No. It is the sweeter sister. No, it does not get as much attention. You know, my wife hates It Was Over When. She thinks it is, you know, she thinks it's petty and it's a series of stories about the straw that broke the camel's back. To which I say, yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. You know, it's about human nature. So It Was Love When is kind of for her. You know, it's sweeter. It's about, again, the mirror image of It Was Over When. And what my favorite one from It Was Love When was I had a dream in which Elvis Presley told me he was the one I was looking for. You know, just these little sweet things. There's one called from our surprising column, because each of them, again, are broken into different categories. And this one is in college, I was a fan of Calvin and Hobbes and ate Honey Bunches of Oats religiously. After dating a girl for only a couple weeks, Valentine's Day came around and she gave me a box of cereal with Calvin and Hobbes strips taped all over it. You know, these little sweet little stories.
That's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought it was interesting to hear, because I was going to ask you if you were married or single, because it seemed kind of like something a single guy would get involved in, not necessarily a married guy.
Yeah, well, and I you know, I sort of started this in my head before I was married, but now I'm a married guy with twins talking to you. Yeah, talking to you from his garage office. So I've gotten a lot has changed, you know, since I started this project.
You mean you're not calling in from the living room like I am?
No. I'm calling in from a ventilated, not very well ventilated garage office.
I hope that while you're calling, nobody turns the engine on in the car or anything.
Oh, no, no, I'm fine. I'm fine.
honey, yeah, I'm really sick of that sight. Here, take a whiff of this. And as a result of the sites, have you found that you are, or has your wife found, that you are more romantic or more skeptical? Or?
I don't know. You know, that's a great question. I've never been asked that before. I think it just makes me more aware. Because, you know, you read enough of, you know, It Was Over When, and there are not so subtle trends. You know, the number, and again, it's indicative of sometimes our readership, but the number of people who break up over, like, things having to do with video games is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, the number of World of Warcraft breakups or Farmville breakups that I've had, so it has made me stay away from, you know, that kind of stuff. And just the stupid stuff. The one thing it has done is it's sort of been an education in, you know, human nature and human chemistry.
Do you ever read these things and go, oh, my God, people are stupid?
Not so much, just because I've read so many of them. It's like, oh, my God, I can't believe how human we are, which is maybe another way of saying I can't believe how stupid we are. But to me, that's just the most interesting bit. You know, it's a little bit of complexity. It is about that little bit of, I mean, I don't know if chemistry or, it's not even fate, but you know, when two human beings get together and can make it work, think about all the things that have to be in line for that to work well. That's a constant mystery to me, and I'm sort of happy I get to explore it.
Where do you draw the line on the sites? What kind of things will you not post or allow your readers to post?
I think I've only killed. I mean, not all the stories make it on, just because they're either badly written or they're not. They don't all have to be funny, but they all have to be poignant in some way. I mean, the ones I spike willfully are, and I've only had to do it with one, which is amazing given the hundreds of thousands of submissions we've had, is with the ones that are racist. Like, I don't have any patience for that. Things that have to do with, sex and sexuality and politics and all that sort of stuff, that's sort of fair game. But things that are, outwardly racist, I don't have time for.
Interesting. Understandable. Certainly understandable. How will you ever make money on this site? Is it advertising? Is it because you'll do a book from it? And do people understand that once they post, they submit stuff, that it becomes the property of the site?
Yeah. That's in the sort of disclaimer that you get before you submit. And everybody's anonymous, of course. And there are plenty of models for this. There are text from last night and post secret. It's all the same, user generated content model. But I don't know how I'm gonna make money on it. My options are to sell advertising, which I probably should do a better job at. There's a little bit on there now. I could sell them, which I prefer not to do because they're like my lesser children. They're not my twins, but they're my lesser children. And then, I don't know. I am open for suggestions. If any of your listeners know, email me.
And so if you had a day job, it would be doing what now?
Well, again, I'm a journalist by training, so I would do something in that field, either writing or editing. I'm under a book contract right now. I have a couple books coming out in the next couple of years. I think I'd mentioned to you the death penalty one before. That's out in April. Mm-hmm. It's called Last Words of the Executed, which is an oral history of capital punishment in the U.S. It's a cheerful tome. it's not political. It's not political at all. It's simply a history of the death penalty in America as told from the gurney, the gallows, and the chair, and not political in any way. It just asks, if these are the most outcast, reviled members of society, why does it remain a cultural value to record what they say? So, in whatever medium I'm working in, I tend to always be like an oral historian. I'm always collecting people's stories.
I always wondered why we want their last words. Yeah, I mean, it's... Why?
I think it exists largely in a Christian framework. I mean, last words, of course, existed before Christianity itself. But I think
hoping that people would ask forgiveness, is that the idea?
It's a couple things. It's sort of three pronged. One is it's a final chance for someone to repent, which is the sort of the spiritual side. It's a final chance for someone to confess if they already haven't. So in that way, proving the justice system correct, so it has sort of a legal function. And then I think it just has sort of a strange to say humanitarian function, but it sort of gives respect to that life,
mm-hmm.
There's also this sort of chance that, hey, what if we're wrong? Maybe we should record this, which we have been in the past, 16,000 executions in this country since colonial times.
Yeah.
Well,
that sure changed the topic. Let's go back.
Yeah.
to...
Let's go back. So you can see why I started the websites, right?
Yeah, I can see why that's the kind of thing that doesn't necessarily go over parties and stuff. Well, let's finish here. Let's finish strong. If you would, give another example of something from It Was Over When, and then we'll get on out of here.
Okay. Let me see. One of my other favorite ones is from the sex category. It's after a year of what I thought was a pretty strong relationship, she suddenly decided she wanted to see other people. What other people, I asked. Girls, she said.
I like that. Let's go out with that one. That's really good. Folks, listen, you can read Rob Elder's websites at itwaslovewhen.com. Even better, though, you'll enjoy even more. itwasoverwhen.com. That's solid. itwaslovewhen.com. itwasoverwhen.com. And look for Rob's book on capital punishment. Coming when, Rob?
April 2010, so just a few months. It's called Last Words of the Executed.
Excellent. Well, we'll get that up on the website so people can order it. And, hey, Rob, it's a fun website. And thank you so much for coming on the show today. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks again for having me.
My pleasure. Good luck to you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, folks, for more original interviews with the entrepreneurs behind some of America's top websites, surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with the online entrepreneurs behind MrSkin.com, Zaproot.com, WonderHowTo.com, AllTop.com, and many more. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman or facebook.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day and come spend it with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening, everybody.